Welcome to the nominations announcement for the 71st Annual Golden Globe Awards.
Welcome to Movie Geeks United. It's that time of year again. It's Golden Globes time. The nominations for the 71st Annual Golden Globe Awards were announced just a few days ago by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. Who is the Hollywood Foreign Press Association? Well, they're an organization composed of working journalists from all over the world, Europe, Asia, Australia, Central America, they collectively vote on these awards. First of all, let me tell you, and I'll get you guys' impression on this. Every year, I mean, the Golden Globe Awards have a reputation for being star lovers.
Yeah, oh yeah, to put it nicely.
Yeah, a lot of times you can look at some of the nominations and you can think, oh, they just nominated them, so their star wattage in the audience will, you know, be at the highest level.
Who could ever forget them nominating The Tourist, you know,
yes.
And Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, if that was the case this year, I mean, there are some wacky nominations there, but if that was the case this year, it's curious why they didn't nominate Oprah.
Yeah, so I wanted to hear your comment from that, Jerry. What do you think? Do you think Oprah's getting ready to tear up the town?
I think, you know, I'm glad to see, you know, I'm glad she's not going to be the queen of all media.
Yeah.
She can't win this. She can't get back to this. And, you know, let me be honest, it's just not a very good movie. It's a Lifetime movie, and that's an insult to Lifetime movies, I think.
Do you think Oprah's Oscar chances have taken a dent because of the Globes?
That I don't know. It depends, you know.
Possibly,
Harvey,
but...
Maybe,
yeah.
But Harvey is very industrious here. You know that he is working round the clock to get her that nomination. Regardless,
Here's another question.
I think it's still okay.
Do you think Idris Elba got the nomination for Mandela? Do you think he would have gotten that had Mandela not died the other week?
Tough question.
In the past, they've really paid attention to Idris Elba in other categories. Like, you know, I mean, they were one of the first people to nominate him for Luther, for the TV show Luther.
True.
So I think he's on their radar anyway.
And he's nominated twice this year.
It's Naomi Harris that everyone's raving about as far as that movie's concerned. I was surprised she didn't get a nomination because people have said that her performance of Lee Manella is incredible.
There's also this. I mean, this is the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. They're an international collective. So these are also journalists that live overseas, like a great number of them. So on that level, their nominations might better reflect an international stage.
In that spirit, I think that Idris Elba is a bigger star overseas than he is here, although that's changing. I mean, his star is rising day by day, I think.
Remember.
You know?
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
He's always been a great actor, but remember, his name is one of the first ones that comes up. Who should play James Bond after Daniel Craig leaves? His name.
That would be an amazing thing, I think.
He has such charisma that I would give it to him. I mean, hands down.
I would too. I think he's. I think he's at the top of the list for the next year.
For me, he's at the top. When I first heard that that was even a consideration, it's like, definitely. What?
Yeah,
he is so cool. He is so cool.
It didn't even faze me. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, for sure. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Golden Globe Awards, they are handed out Sunday, January 12th.
January 12th.
Mm-hmm. And I will be in L.A. when they're being handed out. But
are you going to be at the Globes, though?
No. You know, and I was thinking of applying for credentials to cover it. But, you know, I'm with my girl, and, you know, I don't want to work the very last night that we're in L.A. You know, so
right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be 10 minutes from where the Globes are being held, but we're still going to watch it on a hotel TV screen. It's just awesome.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway, so let's get to it. Let's do TV first. Let's just cover the
whole
thing.
Yeah, let's just start at the bottom and move up.
Best performance by an actor in a supporting role in a series, miniseries, or motion picture made for television. We have Josh Charles from The Good Wife, Rob Lowe from Behind the Candelabra, Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad, Corey Stoll from House of Cards, John Voight from Ray Donovan. What a strong category. Because, I mean, this is the strongest work that Rob Lowe has done in years. And
it is.
Aaron Paul is one of the great performances in all of series television.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Corey Stoll in House of Cards, that was a real breakthrough for him. I mean, he came to a lot of people's attention in Midnight in Paris playing Hemingway. But,
right.
But he was fantastic in House of Cards. That was beautiful casting.
Mm-hmm.
And John Voight plays Anaconda Part 2 in Ray Donovan. I've seen all of Ray Donovan.
I have not watched. You got to forgive me. I have not seen Ray Donovan. And I've heard from a lot of people.
He does a little Paul Cerone in Anaconda in Ray Donovan. There's a touch of it.
Okay.
All right. So what do you guys think?
Aaron Paul.
I would go with Aaron Paul as well. Yeah, I mean it's hard to deny Aaron Paul, but you know the Globes have a good track record of surprising in a lot of categories.
They do,
too.
And they
like,
go with new. They go with new. Also,
they do like,
when it's
they
TV.
Do like new.
So uh-huh. I would think Corey Stoll would be the one that for me, if I was a yes, it was really. I'm torn with this because House of Cards is just the juggernaut here, but it's also the last time that you know Aaron Paul anybody was Breaking Bad while being nominated, and I think they're going to recognize that. I want to say, although the Hollywood Foreign Press, as you both have said repeatedly, and we said this in the years, they surprise a lot and not always for the better. It could go to Josh Charles for all I know because The Good Wife is this really. This network television juggernaut that that people
yeah.
love, and the Hollywood Foreign Press obviously loves too, and the Emmys for that matter. But I'm going to go with Aaron Paul. I think because this is Breaking Bad's, this is it. I'm going to go anything that Breaking Bad is in. I'm leaning towards that with the Golden Globes.
Okay,
Rob Lowe is great and everything, but that performance is pretty small compared to something like Aaron Paul or all the rest of them, which are in TV series and just a one shot thing. But so I mean, I just
well, I'm going to go with Aaron Paul because I think he's the most deserving of all of them.
Oh yeah, oh without a doubt, even more so than let me ask you this, even more so than Corey Stoll, you think?
Yeah, because I mean, Aaron Paul has put in 6 years of strong work on that show
that has
culminated in a great way in this last season. I mean, Corey Stoll is probably second place here for most tortured character in television
mm-hmm.
history.
Aaron
Paul's in first place, you know.
No, I like what you said, though. You said something very important. You said 6 years. And that's what the beauty of the show is. For the characters, for the writers, and especially for the viewers, it's this last season that was everything paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be very honest. We've watched a lot of movies, a lot of movie franchises where you've been building up to this, and it's a letdown. Breaking Bad is the oddity where you actually feel like you were vindicated. You feel like the payoff was worth it. Because many times you just feel like, really? That's it? I mean, talk to Dexter fans. They'll be like, you know, they went out and burned all their DVDs and Blu-rays.
It's impossible, dude. I mean, if you look at the course of six seasons of something, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, that's at least 60 hours of television, if not more. You know, 30 feature-length movies. How can you possibly make the quality consistent on something like that? It's a miracle.
Right.
It's a small miracle, really.
It is.
Okay, best performance by an actress in a supporting role in a series, miniseries, or motion picture made for television. We got Jacqueline Bisset in Dancing on the Edge, Janet McTeer in White Queen, Hayden Panettiere for Nashville, Monica Potter for Parenthood, Sofia Vergara for Modern Family.
Well, Sofia Vergara. I haven't seen a lot of this stuff, but I think there's a lot of buzz around that television show Nashville.
Yes.
And
there is that.
And Hayden Panettiere has benefited a lot from that show, and so I'm going with her.
I'll go with her too.
I'm going to go with Sophia just because they love her. I mean, everyone loves her. So Modern Family is one of these things I wouldn't bet against.
I'd like if she awarded me with her Golden Globes.
I'm sure you would.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, don't discount Jacqueline Bisset too.
Let me ask you a question. I like Jacqueline Bisset. I mean, ever since The Deep, obviously. But what is Dancing on the Edge? I feel I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is either.
Okay,
but
I've been a fan since The Deep, but I don't know what that is.
But since they're star lovers, I would say that out of all five of those, that Bisset is the biggest star in a lot of ways.
What about Janet McTeer, though? I mean, she made a rumble many years ago with Tumbleweeds. And everything.
And she's still a respected stage actress, too.
Monica Potter is also another. I mean, this is a heavy cat name. This is a heavy category.
People love Parenthood, and they love her especially. I know that she has a very special arc in the show. It very well could be Monica Potter. Okay, can I get to the next category?
You can do whatever you want.
Best performance by an actor in a miniseries or motion picture made for television. It's a great category. Matt Damon behind the candelabra, Michael Douglas behind the candelabra, Chiwetel Ejiofor dancing on the edge. There you go, Jacqueline Bisset and Chiwetel. Idris Elba for Luther and Al Pacino for Phil Spector. I think we're all agreed it's going to be Michael Douglas. There's no way it won't be.
Yeah, I think so.
That's just so simple. I mean, it's like once you saw that movie, you just knew he would clean up everywhere he was nominated, and there's just no, as great as Matt Damon is, you kind of wish it would always be a tie between them, with him both, but, you know, that's
especially
impossible.
Especially since this is an international awards, and internationally, Behind the Candelabra was released theatrically.
I'm not going to have one. I still have another show to
do. You're going to do that all over again? I don't know how you do that.
Oh, aren't you sweet? It's not bad for an old bag, huh?
Oh, you look fantastic. And those bits with the audience are gold.
They work every time. I stage the show once a year. It works the same way every single night.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was working in saloons in my youth back in Milwaukee, they called them saloons. I mean, that's how old I am.
I'm from Wisconsin, too.
No, you are? Well, this must be fate.
Best performance by an actress in a miniseries or motion picture made for television, Helena Bonham. She's not going by Carter anymore, huh? It's just Helena Bonham.
It's Helena Bonham Carter here. So,
oh, okay. Burton and Taylor, where she plays Elizabeth Burton.
Elizabeth Burton better.
Elizabeth Anderson, Burton, Hilton, whatever, Taylor.
Yeah.
You know.
Rebecca Ferguson for White Queen, Jessica Lange for American Horror Story, Helen Mirren, Phil Spector, Elizabeth Moss, Toss the Top of the Lake, which is the IFC. Isn't that the IFC series? Yeah.
It is.
Okay, yeah.
It's by James Campion.
This is actually tough, because you have three heavy hitters, Mirren, Lang, and Carter.
And then Elizabeth Moss, who got really great notices for that, for Top of the Lake. So this is tough. You know, I'm leaning towards Helena Bonham Carter, to tell you the truth, because, I don't know, playing Elizabeth Taylor, to me that just seems like, you know, that's right up the Golden Globes alley. I'm not saying that she's the best or anything. But
well, she's better than Lindsay Lohan in the part, I'm sure of that. But, I mean,
I would personally vote for Elizabeth Moss, although it's possible that her accent was a little off a little bit on that show, so, you know, but
what about Jessica Lange? How do we? I've never watched American Horror Story, but it's all the rave with the kids these days. So
I know she's won a Globe before for American Horror Story.
Okay, mm-hmm. Then I'm gonna go with Carter as well. I really I'm gonna go with that.
Okay, I'll go with. You know, I'll go with Carter, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if actually Helen Mirren got it. Like, if Phil Spector gets anything, I think it would go to Helen Mirren.
Okay.
And it should, because she was the best thing about it.
Yeah. Best miniseries or motion picture made for television, American Horror Story, Behind the Candelabra, Dancing on the Edge, Top of the Lake, White Queen, Behind the Candelabra.
Yeah, hands down.
No question.
Okay, best, that was easy. Best performance by an actor in a television series, comedy, or musical. Jason Bateman, Arrested Development. Don Cheadle, House of Lies. Michael J. Fox, The Michael J. Fox Show. Jim Parsons, The Big Bang Theory. Andy Samberg, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You know, that's a funny show.
I watched a couple of episodes of it, and I liked it. I want to watch a little bit more of it.
The captain is who's great in that show. What's that actor's name?
Andre Brower.
Andre Brower, very good. I think this is Michael J. Fox. I really do.
I agree.
I've never watched the show, but I just know that this is his.
It's a very ho hum show. I mean, like.
But let me ask you guys this. I've watched the first half of this thing of Arrested Development. I've watched the first 9 or 10 episodes. I haven't gotten around to watching Arrested. Is it any good? I mean, does it get better, or?
I've personally never been a fan of that show. That show kind of gives me a tiny bit of a headache.
It's like watching a home movie for me, so I don't really, you know, I mean, for me it's always been like watching the home movies that were never filmed. So I watched 10 episodes of it, like I tried to binge like I did with House of Cards and other shows, and I was just like, I gotta slow down here. But I haven't had a chance to go back to it, so I like Jason Bateman though a lot too, but I just couldn't really I have to say this is Michael J. Fox, just given the circumstances and everything.
You know, I agree. I agree with you.
There's like an emotional element there that I think that some people will. There's a sentimental element there that I think some people will respond to. So,
okay, best performance by an actress in a television series, musical, or comedy: Zooey Deschanel for New Girl. Oh, by the way, did you hear that Prince is guest starring on?
Yes,
the
I
New
know.
Girl?
I know. I'm gonna be home that night.
Weird?
I don't care if I have to work.
Is that weird?
New Girl.
Apparently, he's a big fan, so he wanted them to write a role for him.
Thank God.
It's gonna be weird.
Get the ratings. Anything to help the ratings. Yes.
Lena Dunham for Girls, Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep, Amy Poehler for Parks and Recreation. This is tough because people love Amy Poehler, people love Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and they love Lena Dunham.
I think it's between Lena and Julia, personally. I think it's really, you know, no offense to, you know, my immortal beloved, but it's between Lena and Julia.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been between, and they love, and let's be honest, I think this is correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, but I think Lena Dunham, this is the last chance she has, because I think Girls may jump the shark this season.
Well, I mean, it's hard to see. We can't tell.
No. It jumped the shark last season, I think, but I think this season, I think it did. But there's a disconnect. This show, to me, represents a disconnect between what critics like and what viewers like. And if you look at the numbers for, and it, regardless of it, because HBO is subscription and everything, but there's the disconnect is, there's a gap, I guess, or a chasm, if you will. And that might go for Veep, too.
I think that might go for Veep.
But I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus, in this show, more so than Seinfeld, is shown this like level of comic genius that I don't think anyone knew that she had, although it was always there. But this last season of Veep was just classic.
I think she's going to win.
And she's not.
I think
her
that Louis-Dreyfus is going to win.
Her performance isn't in support of anyone else. I mean, she's driving the show, you know?
Oh, she is, mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, it's not I mean, even though there's a strong ensemble there, she's obviously the you know, the big force, as you say. So, and I just think that she too is on a roll in these awards.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree. That being said, I think Amy Poehler is going to win because I think there's
any insult to her. I think she is awesome on that show and just an awesome personality.
I don't care about any of these shows. I'm just telling you what I think they'll give it to. It's not out of loyalty to any of these people. I just think there's been a big push for when is Amy Poehler going to be recognized for how great she is.
Plus at the Golden Globes where she and Tina Fey have signed for, you know, two more years of hosting the show, which is kind
they
of...
They saved the show.
So,
I mean,
they're
they
great.
Saved,
okay. Best television series, comedy, or musical, Big Bang Theory, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Girls, Modern Family, Parks and Recreation. Oh, God.
This is tough, but I think people love Modern Family, although I don't watch it really that much at all. People love that show, but they also love Big Bang Theory, too, which I've never understood, but...
Yeah, I don't understand that Big Bang Theory thing either.
The world loves Big Bang Theory. I mean, that's the biggest show on TV consistently.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a show about geeks. And geek culture for people who aren't geeks, I guess. I mean,
I don't think, you know, with it's hard to deny Modern Family, you know.
Yeah,
I
mean, really is. The Emmys love that show. You know, that show gets huge love.
It does. Like for the past 6 years or whatever it's won, but I think it'll probably go to that show. So.
Okay. Gosh. I'm going to choose Parks and Rec. Number. Best performance by an actor in a television series drama.
This is
Bryan
tough.
Bryan Cranston, Breaking Bad. Liev Schreiber. Liv Schreiber, Jerry. Ray Donovan.
Liv Roderick.
Michael Sheen, Masters of Sex. Kevin Spacey, House of Cards, James Spader, The Blacklist. Wow. Well, I think, you know, if there's any justice, it would be Bryan Cranston. Right?
Yeah. Yes. Totally. But it could go to Kevin Spacey, or it could really go to James Spader for The Blacklist.
Look,
I don't see how they can give it to Bryan Cranston.
That's what I'm thinking. But let me tell you, every one of these is fantastic, because I've seen all of these shows, actually. And
mm-hmm.
Michael Sheen is amazing in Masters of Sex. Kevin Spacey is what you love about Kevin Spacey in House of Cards. Liev Schreiber is great. James Spader is like a really kind of delicious presence when he's playing a villain. He's a great amount of fun in The Blacklist. But I think that it's too hard to ignore Bryan Cranston. This last season of Breaking Bad, he's Shakespearean. He's just incredible. You can't deny him this award.
I would give him this just for the scene where he pays all that money to save
his brother-in-law. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all that, and all that.
I'd give it to him just for the very final shot of him going through and petting all of the equipment before he dies. To me, that's just brilliant. Brilliant work, you know, without
saying
anymore.
Okay, let's get done with this TV stuff. Best performance by an actress in a television series drama. Juliana Margulies, The Good Wife. Tatiana Maslany,
Orphan Black.
British science fiction.
So you have Orphan Black and Orange is the New Black? What's going on here? Taylor Schilling for Orange is the New Black. Kerry Washington for Scandal. Robin Wright for House of Cards. A lot of buzz on the show Scandal, but and people love Juliana Margulies and The Good Wife, but I'm gonna go with Orange is the New Black. I'm gonna go with Taylor.
I was gonna go with that too. I haven't seen it yet, and I really want to, but I think that's the winner there.
I love that show, and she is fantastic in it. But I do have to say that there's possibility that Tatiana Maslany might make it, because on Orphan Black, which I've watched, she is absolutely superb. If you haven't watched the show, you need to know that she plays like seven or eight different characters in it. So it's a very, very demanding role. And this is the first time that she's been recognized by any awards body that I know of for this performance. So there's a certain like cult out there, but it's very culty. So Orange is the New Black. So it could just Juliana Margulies again.
If you want to know about the cult of Orphan Black, I mean, my mom and my brother just watched all the episodes. I think this weekend that they had recorded. So they watched all the episodes. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the definition
they love that
of
show.
Cult right there.
I don't know if I call that a cult. I mean, I don't get any money out of it. I don't know what kind of cult is that. But
okay.
Well,
best
I'll go with Taylor Schilling, too, though. Yeah.
Okay. Best television series drama, Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey, The Good Wife, House of Cards, Masters of Sex. First of all, I'm thrilled that Masters of Sex was nominated. Masters of Sex is easily my favorite show. Since Breaking Bad.
I haven't gotten a chance to watch it, Jamie, and I really, of all the shows this season that I regret missing, that is the one at the top of the list, because I love Lizzie Kaplan, and
She's missing from the nominations.
Yeah.
Because she's really powerful.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, what's up with that? Because this is something I want to get to later, because it's going to, I want to talk about it later, because it will in regards to one of the nominations in the motion pictures, but that show, from what I understand, succeeds because of their chemistry, Sheen's and Kaplan's chemistry.
Oh yeah, but the supporting. I mean, Beau Bridges has never been better. Like, it's the best role of Beau Bridges' career. But you know, and remember, we had Lizzie Kaplan on the show, and I didn't remember at first until a couple episodes in, and Lizzie Kaplan. I was thinking, she was on for Cloverfield years ago.
Cloverfield, and she's gone, and she was a very good, I mean, she steals the movie Bachelorette from everyone, I think. It's a great performance, because it's a craze performance. But she's a very good actress.
I think it's going to go to Breaking Bad for Best Television Series.
I hope so. I mean, there could be. I mean, who knows? You know, there could be just a surprise or whatever. And if there is a surprise, I'd like. I just think it'd be interesting to see Masters of Sex get in there. But
me too. I think House of Cards. I think that their time will come next year when they won't have to contend with Breaking Bad. Have you seen the season 2 trailer for House of Cards?
Yes, I did, Danny. You know, I'm depressed because it means I'll be binge-watching again. So it means that nothing can get done for the next couple of days when I'm watching it.
Great teaser, yeah. Okay, now we're up to the movie categories. We start with Best Original Song, Motion Picture. Atlas from Hunger Games Catching Fire, Let It Go from Frozen, Ordinary Love from Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, Please Mr. Kennedy from Inside Llewyn Davis, and Sweeter Than Fiction from One Chance.
Please Mr.
Taylor
Kennedy.
Swift.
By the way, this whole thing with Please Mr. Kennedy, we talked about on the last show, and of course afterwards, you know, we discussed, you know, whether it was truly original or not, and I did go and do some research, and it is not an original song. In fact, on the credits for the song in the movie, they credit the two of the original authors of it back in the 60s as co-writers, even though they weren't actually in there with T-Bone Burnett and everybody doing it. But that's the kind of thing that's going to keep it out of the running for best song and the Oscar nominations, just to let everybody know. But of course, the Golden Globes doesn't have this sort of like strict rule that the Oscars have, so that's why.
Yeah, I think that's something we got to keep in mind and remind people that the Globes are different from the Oscars at the end of the day. There's some, especially when it comes to the foreign film category. It's a different playing field. So, are you definite that Atlas is a Coldplay song?
Yeah, it's a Coldplay song.
Mm-hmm. I don't want anything that represents Gwyneth Paltrow in any award ceremony. Her cookbook could be used as firewood.
I thought the song was pretty good. And I like the Ordinary Love song that U2 does, and I'm not normally a U2 fan. But since it's nominated in this thing, I mean, it's probably going to go to Let It Go from Frozen, but I sure would like to see Please Mr. Kennedy win, because out of all five of them, it's the catchiest and most memorable song.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1
second, please.
Please, Mr. Kennedy.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to go.
Don't you be in the outer space.
Oh, please. I sweat when they dump me in the pressure suit. Rubble held at that board and boom. Nowhere a bit in gravity zero.
Space.
I need to breathe,
outer.
Don't need to be a hero. Are you reading me loud and clear? Roll, please, Mr. Kennedy.
Outer.
If you make her a widow, hey. Who will play catch out in the back with the kid? Don't be Mr. Kennedy.
Okay, number we're up to Best Original Score. Alex Ebert for All Is Lost, Alex Heffes for Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, and this isn't a category overrun by Alex's. We're on to Stevens now. Stephen Price for Gravity, John Williams for The Book Thief, Hans Zimmer for 12 Years a Slave. Personally, I think this is going to Hans Zimmer.
I think so too, but I want to hear. I'm going to go see The Book Thief. I hope this week. So I mean,
I am staunchly for Stephen Price for Gravity. He's not only going to win this, but he's going to win the Oscar too, I think.
I don't remember the score for Gravity. That's not. I just don't remember it being.
I love the score for Gravity. But
it's a huge
part
of the movie's power, I think.
Yeah, I love the score for it, and I've heard the score for Book Thief. But I think Hans Zimmer, I mean, using period instruments and very unique sound for 12 Years a Slave, and I think that movie is probably the most prestiged. But
There's a little bit of controversy around the Hans Zimmer thing, though. There's some people saying that it's kind of cribbed from some of his other scores.
That's what I was going to say, and I don't mind that, because I think his Inception score is a masterpiece, although people want to run me in the streets and kick my head to the curb.
Well, it obviously is. It obviously is, because people imitate it all the time, especially in trailers and so forth. So
I do like that score for Inception a lot. When I was watching the movie, it's funny because, like, this sounds a lot like Inception.
I think the Stephen Price score is really important for that movie, because it acts as kind of a stand-in for a lot of the sound effects and so forth that are not used, because it takes place in space. So It actually helps to ramp up a lot of the tension in the movie.
I think in a major way. I'll do you guys a favor. I'm gonna buy the score when I get some extra cash, some disposable income, because I do like Gravity. Regardless of what I said last week about it, I was just going, basically, trying to get in, because my mom was like saying, I think it's better than 2001. Because she was like saying, I just think she does that to, like, basically, if she had a piece of broken glass, she'd rip my colon out of my body. But I tried to explain to her that Tree of Life was the only movie that you could compare 2001 with, I was lucky that I wasn't thrown out of the house that day. You gotta forgive me, because I saw Midnight Show of Gravity, so I don't remember the score that well. So I remember the visuals, but I don't remember the audio. So I'll definitely want to check that out now, since you guys are really praising it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So difference of opinion there, and who will win that? Best screenplay, motion picture: Spike Jonze with Her, Bob Nelson with Nebraska, Jeff Pope and Steve Coogan for Philomena, John Ridley for 12 Years a Slave, Eric Warren Singer and David O. Russell for American Hustle.
This is hard.
This is really difficult.
I want to give it to two movies that I haven't seen yet.
I saw Nebraska last night.
And that's a good one.
Hang on. Dean, what did you think of it?
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Like, for me, it was like a return back to the top echelons of Alexander Payne's work. I like The Descendants, but I didn't think it was as great as his previous movies, and I felt like this felt like more of a piece. I think there's something about Alexander Payne working in that part of America that since it's home. I think that there's a certain feeling to his movies that take place in Omaha and all the surrounding states. I think it's his most technically adept movie, too. I think, that photography, the score, the Mark Orton score, which I would
love
definitely put in the running. And just the incredible cast. I heard some comments about before I saw it, just a few comments by viewers of it and so forth, that said that they thought they were making fun of the people in that part of the area, and I didn't get that at all. I thought he treated them with utmost respect, and most of them were very kind-heartedly portrayed, and there was only a couple of assholes in it, which that's good too, and a few, maybe two or three. But
no, I think the cousins were, I thought, the two that were sitting on the sofa.
Yeah, it's not, they're not portrayed with a snarky point of view.
No, it's not at all.
You can appreciate someone's eccentricity without belittling them, and I think that's what Alexander Payne does. He appreciates the eccentricity of these characters, but not in a way to be cruel to them. Laugh, you know.
Right, right. And I mean, speaking to Bob Nelson's screenplay, I mean, I thought that the, you know, one of the genius moment parts about the screenplay, which is this is the first screenplay that Alexander Payne has filmed that he didn't have a hand in writing. And so I think that kind of freed him up in a different way too. I think you feel that in watching the movie.
Right.
But Bob Nelson's screenplay, which he, you know, tried to get made for years and years, is so wonderful because it never overly explains things. It never. The whole movie feels like what it is to that Will Forte character, which is like kind of a mission of discovery in some ways about what's behind his father's sense of disappointment and so forth.
Well,
and,
I think he sees himself mm-hmm. and his father, especially that scene mm-hmm. when he goes to the old flame,
yeah.
the newspaper. I think that scene. Is worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
Well,
there's no
easy payoff in it too. I mean, there's,
uh-huh.
there's
no easy.
Like
None.
There's no,
no
concrete there's no concrete emotional reconciliation. This big moment that would happen in every other movie, and so it doesn't. So I think a lot of people read that as not being satisfying as one of those kinds of movies.
No, but it is just as satisfying, I think, I think the three of us would agree. I'm so glad you guys liked it, because I was blown away by the movie, because it wasn't what I expected. So
I actually have a favorite moment in the movie, and it's the one moment that has stayed with me the most, and it's the moment where he's near the end, where he's driving in the van, and he passes
mm-hmm.
the woman outside of the printing show. Outside
right,
of the,
right, yeah, yeah.
And it's this
that,
long
that
shot
whole,
of her.
That
it,
whole, yeah.
It's that long shot of yeah. her, and you could tell by the expression on her face that she's looking at him thinking, this was the love of my life a lifetime ago. And it's just so
or
moving.
Or at least considering the possibilities. She was at least considering the possibilities of, hey, this is the end of that story for me in some ways, you know, and
right.
You kind of saw all of that stuff, you know, not just, you know, just a whole lifetime of considering this person,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, you really did see that. That was a wonderful bit of acting by that actress.
That being said, I think this award is going to 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, you
I
do?
Probably,
you really do?
I think
yeah.
it probably will too, because it'll be part of it'll be. I think it's going to be part of a sort of a sweep in a lot of ways.
Okay, I don't want to spend too much more time on this. I've seen 12 Years a Slave, Philomena, and Nebraska. If I was going to go just on those three, I'd give it to Nebraska. I have not seen her, and I want to, but I think this would go to American Hustle. I know
okay.
for a fact this will go to American Hustle. If it doesn't, both of you and all the listeners of the show can come to my house on January 12th, beat the living shit out of me, but please buy me a beer before you do that.
Well, you definitely deserve a beer and a shot before that.
Yeah,
okay.
Can I get chunky from that, please, before I go down?
All I can say, Jerry, is I'll see you on the 12th. Best Director, Motion Picture, Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity, Paul Greengrass for Captain Phillips, Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave, Alexander Payne for Nebraska, David O. Russell, American Hustle. I think it'll – oh, man. Man, I think it's a big – I think this whole award season is a big fight between Steve McQueen and Alfonso Cuarón.
It is.
Really?
Gosh,
you
it's,
think that?
It's really difficult to say which one. This being mm-hmm. the Hollywood foreign press,
okay.
I will say Alfonso Cuarón will win it for Gravity.
You know what? I'm tending to lean towards that as well. And I think the reason for that being is to just the extreme difficulty. And the fact that they really did work on the production of this thing for like 5 years.
Right,
I mean,
right.
that guy stuck with this project. Like, I mean, you know, it had to be rough for him because, you know, he's not somebody. He's made very ambitious movies in the past, obviously, like Children of Men. But something like this, you know, I mean, I would assume that he's, in his mind, he's going, you know, the next one is not going to be this hard. I think I have to go with Alfonso Cuarón, too.
Oh, God, I'm in a different wavelength than both of you. This is awesome. This is what makes this show so great. Okay, I'm going on the assumption that I am going on a very deep assumption that one of these guys is not going to be here for the Oscars. And it's going to be probably Paul Greengrass, I think.
Yeah.
And I think, who am I thinking of if it's not Greengrass? Who do I think is going to be in the who do I think is going to be in that category if not Greengrass?
I don't know. Maybe Kachish for the warm blue is the warmest color might make it in.
I think Scorsese. I'm going on a big assumption here. I don't think.
Surprising, by the way. It's really surprising that Scorsese was nominated for director here because they love Scorsese. They'll nominate him for anything like Shutter Island or something. And it's really surprising that he's not here in this list, by the way.
Well, I'm going on the assumption that he is going to get at least the DGA and the Oscar. Because I really think, and I love Payne, I love McQueen, I love Greengrass, and I love Cuarón. They're all directors I like. But I think this race right now, and you can laugh at me all you want, I think this whole entire director's race is between Scorsese and O. Russell. I don't think anyone else matters.
Uh-huh.
I think this is about...
I don't agree.
I really do. I think what you're going to see...
You're voting for Russell for the...
I'm voting for Russell.
Given every single award that's been out so far, I mean, Spike Jonze actually isn't in this either. Nor are the Coen brothers, and those two.
What's up with that? Yeah. I mean,
those two could be viable contenders for Oscars.
Yeah,
I think it's so tight between McQueen and Cuarón. I mean, I honestly think this could go one way or another. I just happen to choose Gravity because of the international appeal of
that film.
I
give you that. I agree. But I think O. Russell, because from The Fighter and The Silver Linings Playbook, he's been on this comeback. Remember, before The Fighter, everyone had written him off. He wasn't going to get another job. Also, they had written Spike Jonze off because they never thought Where the Wild Things was ever going to get made. You know, that was taking a long time to get made, and that was what he was attached to. But I really do think this is O. Russell's year because I have never read the reviews that I've read the last 2 weeks of a movie. By the way, David Denby should be, taking a task for spoiling the cameo in the movie. Did anybody read it? I'm not going to say who it is, but David Denby gives it away. No one else is giving away. David Denby, so-and-so is it. Thank you, David. You're a moron. It's not my fault your wife left you for another woman.
I'm saying this not thinking that Gravity is the best picture of the year by a long shot. So I'm just telling you what I think the Globes will do.
Okay.
Best performance by an actor in a supporting role. Barkhad Abdi for Captain Phillips. Daniel Brühl for Rush. There was quite a nomination.
That's a surprise.
Bradley Cooper for American Hustle. Michael Fassbender for 12 Years a Slave, Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club. I think this is going to Jared Leto.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. All those other performances are great, I really love Barkhad Abdi, especially. And Daniel Brühl was the best thing about Rush, to me at least. But Jared Leto is just...
I can't argue with that. I mean, I really can't.
Do you like this dress? Because I think the neckline's a little plunging.
Rayon, the whole purpose of this study is to determine if AZT is helping people.
Come on, Evie, you know there ain't no helping me.
That doesn't mean I'm going to stop trying.
Why are you so good to me? Bless your little heart.
Just promise me you'll show up for the rest of the trial.
I promise you that I will try my very best.
I want you to mean it.
Best performance by an actress in a supporting role, Sally Hawkins in Blue Jasmine, Jennifer Lawrence in American Hustle, Lupita Nyong'o in 12 Years a Slave, Julia Roberts for August Osage County, June Squibb for Nebraska.
Man, June Squibb looks great in that movie.
She steals the movie. I mean,
she really does. She really does. Amazing.
Talk in the phone.
She's amazing in the movie, and I just watched About Schmidt recently, and again, and realized that she plays Schmidt's wife. And this is the first time that Sally Hawkins has been mentioned in the awards, you know, arena for Blue Jasmine, which totally deserves that. This is probably going to go to Jennifer Lawrence.
I think it will. I think it totally
maybe
will.
Maybe Lupita Nyong'o, but yeah, I'm thinking Jennifer Lawrence for this.
Here's what I'm thinking. And, you know, I guess I'll go out on a limb, because all this time I've been saying Jennifer Lawrence is the front runner, and she is. But it's just like director for me. It's really tight between Jennifer Lawrence and Lupita Nyong'o. I think Jennifer Lawrence won last year. I think they're going to give it to Lupita.
Mm.
Okay. I give you that.
I would say that hers is the best out of all of them. I mean, you know, although I haven't seen, you know, Osage and Hustle yet, but out of the three I've seen, I'd say that hers is the best. I mean, she really... It's also like the textbook definition of a supporting performance too. You know, it's like, yes, she only has about five scenes in the movie, but she just totally commands those scenes, and actually, when it's all over, she sticks in your mind as like one of the major things that works in it. So, but I'm going with Lawrence mainly because it's the Globes, and I think that they, you know, we know how they work sometimes. So,
yeah.
You know, so that's why I'm going with Lawrence.
Best foreign language film: Blue is the Warmest Color, The Great Beauty, The Hunt, The Past, The Wind Rises. A lot of B titles in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's getting a lot of love critically? Like, if you look at Best of the Year list, The Great Beauty is, like, right at the top of a lot of...
Yeah, that is. I want to see that very badly. That is playing around here. I've seen The Hunt.
I could not get through it.
What, The Great Beauty?
I find his movies very difficult. I tried to watch Il Divo, which is his movie previous.
Oh, wait, he did Il Divo?
Yeah.
Oh, Il Divo
Let me finish. Yes, it's the same director. You know, that movie was brilliant to look at and everything, but it requires such a level of knowledge about Italian politics and political history that I don't know about really. I found it extremely difficult to get through, and in fact, I couldn't get through it.
Okay.
So I'm expecting that The Great Beauty is going to hit in that same ballpark.
Can I give you guys for Il Divo, all you have to do is watch The Godfather Part 3 and you know what's going on in Il Divo. In all seriousness, I'm not joking when I say that. I do want to see The Great Beauty. I think there's only one film in this category.
Yeah.
And that's Blue is the Warmest Color. I do love The Hunt, though. I love The Hunt. The Hunt is excellent.
I like the performance in The Hunt. Matt Mikkelsen's good in it. He is
the movie. I mean, you take him out of the movie, and all you have is my neighbor, Dr. Murdoch, yelling at a woman during the movie. You know, when he walks, that's all you have. You know, there's a fight during the movie, which I thought was very interesting. But The Wind Rises, though, I think I would like to see, because the controversy around this has just been, but I do think this belongs to Blue is the Warmest Color. But I don't. This will not be nominated for an Oscar, will it?
No, it wasn't. France didn't submit it as their entry into the race,
And I, you know, when they do that, when they don't submit a thing like that, I think what they're doing is they're trying to go for the bigger awards, you know, picture, mm-hmm. director, actress, so forth.
But it's still,
is
yeah,
a great beauty on demand.
No, but it still could be nominated for Best Picture, though, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
or
wow.
Anything
okay.
else.
So,
screenplay, director, actress, supporting actress, all of that stuff's open. Just,
okay.
You know,
okay. So I'm going to say blue is the warmest color.
I'm going with blue too. Yeah. I mean, definitely go with that.
And as it stands right now, at this moment, blue is the warmest color is my favorite movie of the year so far. So.
God bless.
I just got finished watching it, and I'll tell you, it is extraordinary. It definitely shot up right to the top of the list for me as well. I mean, you just feel like you're just watching reality there, but so beautifully filmed. I mean, is there anything like that scene where they're kissing in the park and the light is shining through their mouths and everything? Oh my God! But just the scenes with her with the kids, you know, of course,
mm-hmm.
the extremely beautiful erotic sex scenes, the just every shot of her dancing or thinking or talking. I mean, this is one movie that really works well. I noticed while I was watching it that it was also a movie that was, you know, largely shot in close up. And this
mm-hmm.
is an instance where that kind of technique actually works, because you see the entire world in Adele Exarchopoulos's face. You know,
right.
Everything that she's thinking and feeling is incredibly transparent. It's just a ridiculously beautiful view. I mean, it you know, reduced me to tears while I was watching it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the time.
Yeah, me too.
And,
me too, man.
Yeah.
Great
okay. movie.
Best animated feature film: The Croods, Despicable Me 2, and Frozen.
Well, this is easy, right?
I think it's going to go to Frozen.
Yeah.
I've only seen Despicable Me 2, but it should go to Frozen. I mean,
no, there's a lot of love for The Croods, though. People like that movie.
Yeah, and that's one I want to check out. I'm interested to check it out, if only for Nicolas Cage's, you know, voice performance. That could
be his best work in years, supposedly. But I mean, shoot me now.
Best performance. I'll go with you guys. Frozen. Is that what you guys said?
I won't go see Frozen, but yeah.
Okay. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, comedy, or musical. This was the point of controversy throughout the week since they announced these nominations. What the Globes consider a comedy.
I know. Don't remind me. I got text last night while I was at work for one of my other jobs from Roland. How dare they consider Wolf of Wall Street a comedy? I mean, why? Have you seen it?
Apparently, it's a big comedy.
Nonstop
laughs. No, I'm serious. Apparently, The Wolf of Wall Street is a comedy.
I hope so.
Remember, it's the filmmakers and the film studio that put it up in this category. It wasn't the Golden Globes going out and being Mavericks. It was all of these were submitted by the makers as being comedies. So, you know.
Really?
I mean, this is a tough category. This is a tough category, guys. This
Even
is
David
really
Russell
tough.
Was saying, why are they considering us a comedy? But okay. Christian Bale, American Hustle, Bruce Dern, Nebraska, Leonardo DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street, Oscar Isaac, Inside Llewyn Davis, Joaquin Phoenix for Her. Now that's an interesting category.
Dude, this is tough. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Bruce Dern will win this.
Okay, Bruce Dern. I'll go with Bruce Dern, but this is going to make
me. I think they will do it for Bruce Dern too, because I think I can easily see that happening. You can just see him up there, you know, and yeah, I mean. He does so much with his body and with his just with his look.
But this is a tight
and
category. This is just when
any
rock
other year,
solid.
I would say, you know, DiCaprio would just take it in a walk, you know, because you know they, you know, because
has
again,
anyone
because
reviewed this movie, Wolf of Wall Street? It just looks like this is classic Scorsese.
The embargo
I think it's
list.
Still under embargo, yeah.
Yes.
It's
the
just
embargo
looked.
Do you want to know if they've reviewed it or not?
Yes.
Jesus. These are the most difficult shows to edit. The reviews come out on the 18th. The embargo's like a week before the movie. Okay.
Well, you know what the reviews are going to be like, but
no, I
but
don't.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, this could be Casino or Goodfellas, like to the nth degree. I mean,
what do you think? Who's going to win it, Terry?
I think it's going to be, well, if I go on the basis, I've only seen one of the performances, Bruce Dern, so that's the one I'm going on.
Yeah, I think it's time for him to be recognized, just as a career thing, too, you know?
Yeah, it is a big career thing.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm eating a fudge bar. Best performance by an actress, comedy or musical. Amy Adams in her hysterical performance in American Hustle. Julie Delpy in Before Midnight. Greta Gerwig, Frances Ha. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Enough Said. Meryl Streep, August Osage County.
Well, first of all, can I say congratulations to Greta Gerwig, who didn't get a nomination at the Spirits, didn't get a nomination at the Gothams, hasn't been talked about by the Critics Associations at all. And yet here she is, as you know, finally getting her due for, I think, maybe one of the truest actual comedy performances in the whole lineup. So you know, I'll be pulling for Greta to win big time. That said, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, Amy Adams, but that's not a really funny performance, right? So, I mean,
no.
It looks pretty intense. And then same thing with Julie Delpy, too. Like, Before Midnight as a comedy is kind of weird, too, because I don't remember laughing very much during that. I mean, like, not at all, ever, like once.
During that movie at all. It was depressing.
Not
I mean,
once did I laugh in that. Not once did I think there was anything supposed to be funny in it. Oh, boy. It's possible they'll just rubber stamp Meryl Streep and get her up there again, but, boy, it sure would be nice to see someone like Gerwig or Louis-Dreyfus get up there. You know.
I'd like to see Louis-Dreyfus get it because I think it's a truly great performance by her. I think this is going to Amy Adams. I really do think this is going to Amy. I think anything that Amy Adams is up for, she may get because this is truly the game changer performance from her. But I would give it, of what I've seen three of the performances, I've seen Before Midnight, Frances Ha, and Enough Said, I'd give it to Julie Louis-Dreyfus. If it was up to me, I'd give it to her. But I haven't seen Amy Adams, but I just have a feeling that we're watching the gauntlet build for Amy Adams for this movie.
You know, I love Amy Adams in American Hustle. I thought she was one of the most interesting things about the movie to me. But if you read a lot of reviews of American Hustle, she's the one performer that most people have a criticism about.
Because of the British accent and so forth. And,
yeah, which the British accent is supposed to be fake.
Yeah.
I mean, she's putting it on. But
so it's supposed to be kind of iffy, you know, which I like that.
I think this is the award.
Yeah.
I think this is the award that'll go to Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I'm all for that because it is a revolutionary performance.
Well, as I said before, I still think that there's a possibility that she might slip into that you know, almost set in stone five Best Actress nominees for the Oscars. I think there's a possibility that, you know, she might beat one of them for the top
and
spot.
And by the way, it's completely retarded that Greta Gerwig didn't get a Spirit nomination. Out of any award show, that's the one that should have recognized her.
Yeah, I don't really get that at all. I mean,
utterly retarded considering also, too, that It got a Best Picture nomination and an editing nomination, but it didn't get a screenplay or an actress nomination. Like, is that, that's the most screwed up thing I've ever heard of. Like,
I just
don't get it. But I just,
okay,
you know, of course.
This is a tough category. Best Motion Picture Comedy or Musical: American Hustle, Her, Inside Llewyn Davis, Nebraska, Wolf of Wall Street.
It is tough. I haven't seen four of these movies haven't been released yet that I can see.
I'm going to tell you my opinion. I think they're giving it to Inside Llewyn Davis.
Really? Okay.
I think this has been on, in terms of journalists worldwide, this has been on their radar since the premiere at Cannes. No, it didn't premiere at Cannes. Did it? Yeah, it did.
It did.
Yeah. I have yet, outside of Armand White's review, I've yet to read anything bad about Inside Llewyn Davis. And Wolf of Wall Street's kind of untested. I think Inside Llewyn Davis has been percolating a lot with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to get it. And I think Her is probably a little too cool for school for them, like too modern. Yeah.
I think that the musical element in Inside Llewyn Davis might propel it up there too, because it's both of those things, not just.
I see that. I definitely it could be.
Yeah, I mean, this is very tough, but what the hell? I'm going to go with you, Jamie. I think that's good logic. And
have I ever let you down?
No, not really.
I'm going to go with American Hustle. I'm going to go with American Hustle. I'm sorry. I think that's
okay.
I'm going to go with it.
It could, you know, if it wins anything, it could win a Globe.
You're going to do this because you got no choice. You work for me.
You keep changing the rules. No, you're getting a little power drunk, Richard. You know, you want to tell him, Edie? You want to wake him up?
Oh, no. I said we shouldn't do any of it, Irvin. You know I said that. So now I support Richie. He's got vision. Do it heavy or don't do it.
I mean, he's the one ruining America, not me.
How the fuck am I ruining America?
Because people just got over Watergate and Vietnam, all right? And you're going to shit all over politicians again? Hey, just because you want to be a big shot, get a promotion.
No, I'm thinking big, all right? This is going to be fantastic. We're doing video surveillance. I'm doing this from the feet up.
You will never do it properly because you got too much government attitude to be small and sleek. I'm like the Viet Cong, man, all right? I'm in and I'm out. I was there the whole time. You don't know it, all right? That's an art of becoming somebody who people can pin their beliefs and their dreams on.
Best performance by an actor, drama. Chiwetel Ejiofor, 12 Years a Slave. Idris Elba for Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. Tom Hanks, Captain Phillips. Matthew McConaughey, Dallas Buyers Club. Robert Redford for All Is Lost. Wow. I mean, when you stick Redford in there, it's. I still think it's a close race between Redford and Chiwetel.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And Hanks is nominated for the wrong movie. As much as I like him in Captain Phillips, he's a great Walt Disney. Mm. Guys, he is a magnificent Walt Disney.
You know what? I already have a problem. That movie, and this is a different topic that I'll take 20 minutes to talk about, so I don't really want to talk about it. But
we'll talk about it next week.
But knowing how much it screws around with the facts of,
mm-hmm.
of what that relationship really was,
right,
kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth. That
mm-hmm.
This is why it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. The movie is about P.L. Travers not wanting Disney to screw with her book.
Right.
And I think what this movie does is Disney screws with P.L. Travers' reasons for not wanting them to screw with her book. So, like, Disney has the last word. Because P.L. Travers wrote in her will, you can't make a sequel to Mary Poppins. You can't touch these characters again. Because she hated it. That opens up a whole other can of worms. Like, well, Do you accept the movie on its own terms, or do you even take that into consideration? So that's a different topic that I do want to talk about next week, but it's interesting.
Oh, definitely. But he's good in this, too. I'm going with Robert Redford because I really – I mean, I like 12 Years a Slave, too, very much so, and it's a great performance. But Robert Redford has really, it's only him. He's the only, and he's just great in that, and I'm glad to see him in it.
Boy, though, I'll tell you one thing, though. When you go over, when I go to look at the you know, the Oscar prognostication sites a lot, and boy, when you take a look at some of the comments on some of those things about
don't
you know,
look at the comments
about how much they yeah don't look at the comments I know, but and I don't get into any kind of arguments, but I did have to say something about all the negative comments that were being thrown about Robert Redford, and I just had to say, what is this? Is this what's going on with you guys? Is this ageism here or something? I mean, is this what is it? You know, I mean, always they had negative things to say about Redford and Dern and June Squibb and so forth. I was like, you just pick these three, you know, above 70 actors, and and you're like, oh, it's just a coincidence that you don't like these guys. Like, what's going on with you? You know. But I'm still going with Robert Redford as the lead for the Oscar and for this as well.
So. Do you feel that the buzz on 12 Years of you know, I talked about this last week, I think in reference to another movie, but do you think the buzz is kind of winding down on 12 Years a Slave?
Yes, I do. Well, I mean, it suffers from the inevitable backlash of the front runner that gets released in October, and you know, it gives the people enough time to get tired of seeing the slave all over the place, and people want something constantly different than what they're getting. So yeah, in that way, yes, but in another way, if you've seen the movie, which a lot of people haven't, because it's still at, you know, around 40 million or whatever, and it's not playing every place you go. If you've seen the movie, you just go, well, there really is no, there's no more historically important movie and also successful movie than this one is this year. I mean, you know, lots of great movies this year, but that one just sort of stands out above them all. And by the way, you know, one thing I'd like to say about 12 Years a Slave that I'm really kind of taking from its director, Steve McQueen, I read him saying something that was just incredibly powerful this week, which he said, you know, this is not just a movie about slavery of this period. This is going on right now. You know, it's going on right now somewhere in the world, you know, many places
right.
in the world. So this is not just a movie about the slavery of black people in America. It's the experience of being a slave all around the world. So I think that's incredibly important to remind people about.
Yeah, you know, I think, oh, man. I mean, I do think that A Jew of Four probably might be more deserving. But I just think it's the poetry of giving Redford an acting award.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's going to win out, you know?
I agree.
Okay. By the way, I finally watched Mud, McConaughey is just incredible lately. I mean, he's just amazing.
Yeah, no, I would give it to him, I mean, if I had to. I mean, but he's not up for that one, so.
Yeah, yeah, another supporting role.
Yeah. The thing is, McConaughey's always been incredible. It's just the movies that he chose for a little while weren't.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
no,
he's always been good, but look, it's hard to distinguish yourself in Ghost of Girlfriend's Past, you know. So I will never walk out of Ghost of Girlfriend's Past and say, man, he was incredible, because the movie doesn't allow him to be incredible, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, or The Wedding Planner or whatever. Yeah,
he's doing work that facilitates the best of him.
Uh-huh. I don't know what turned it around for him in his mind, because it obviously, I think you know, Steven Soderbergh was instrumental in changing his mind about some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with Magic Mike, which, you know, was, you know,
for me, clearly the best supporting performance of last year.
Right, of course.
I think there was something about that experience of doing that with him that really changed his view on things, you know.
This being the Globes, McConaughey could win. And, I mean, he would be my third choice for what they would choose.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he could win a Globe. I don't know. Best performance by an actress, drama, Cate Blanchett, Blue Jasmine, Sandra Bullock, Gravity, Judi Dench, Philomena, Emma Thompson, Saving Mr. Banks, and Kate Winslet for Labor Day. I think this is another case of the Golden Globes kind of having tunnel vision and going to their old favorites, because Labor Day has not made a dent at all in screenings. It releases only in L.A. on the 29th of December, I think, to just get under the wire for Oscar consideration, and then it opens wide January 30th. I think it's Cate Blanchett, yeah.
I think it's Cate Blanchett, and I wouldn't be, you know, I think maybe Bullock, but I definitely think Cate Blanchett. It's definitely Cate Blanchett. And other than of the four I've seen, they're all good. Dench and Thompson, they're all good performances, but I think this is Cate Blanchett's year.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, it's too bad, too, because I really respect what Bullock did and the difficulty in getting that performance out.
Right. No, it's a great performance. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I want to say this about Judi Dench's performance. It's very good in Philomena, but it's only good because of Steve Coogan, you know, because of the chemistry she has with Steve Coogan. So, unfortunately, that's not represented in the actor's side. And this is something I kind of touched on last week. It's Steve Coogan's character that changes in the movie. Mm-hmm. Just as in Philadelphia, it's really Denzel Washington's character that changes. That mm-hmm. really has the great... you know, shift in perception, and that's true with Coogan here too. And he's not recognized, sadly. And he's a very, you know, very interesting.
But at least
actor.
He did get a nomination for his script. So,
yes,
you know,
he did. No, he did. But he, you know, well, these kind of movies rely is a symbiotic relationship. They rely on both of them. It's not one or the other. It's really both. So, and that could be said for Emma Thompson and Tom Hanks too, in Saving Mr. Banks, definitely.
Okay, our final category, of course, is Best Key Grip. And the nominees are...
I was tripped on the way to the craft services table, but okay.
Best Motion Picture Drama, 12 Years a Slave, Captain Phillips, Gravity, Philomena, and Rush. One of these will not be nominated for the Oscar.
I think I know which one it will be.
Yeah, that's a real surprise, that Rush nomination there.
That is a surprise.
Again, that movie is a much bigger hit overseas where those two real-life characters are actually much more popular and much...
True. You can't discount that either. I understand that. I think there's only one winner here, ironically, and it's not 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
I think it's Gravity. If we're going to go with the Hollywood Foreign Press, I think it's really Gravity.
I'm sticking with 12 Years a Slave. I just
thought. Okay. I like 12 Years a Slave better, but I'm just going with what I think the Globes may pick, and I think it might be Gravity.
Well, I think it's quite possible that they'll. But that's, you know, I think, you know, the split, you know, since I picked Cuarón as director, I think that would be their way of recognizing them both, you know. But I'm sticking with 12 Years a Slave.
I'm going with Gravity. I think Oscars might be a different story, but...
Well, I think that will be definitely a different story, but...
Going with Gravity for the same reason I went with Gravity for director. You know, if I were voting, I'm sure I'd vote. I know I'd vote 12 Years a Slave over Gravity. But my prediction for how others vote is different. So it'll be exciting. And then the Oscar nominations will be announced the Thursday after the Globes air.
Okay.
So it'll be 16th of January, I believe. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Are we going to talk a little bit about Peter O'Toole?
Yeah, we should talk a little bit.
Yeah. That
yes,
was,
Peter O'Toole died today.
Bad.
Two years after he retired from acting, he passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Passed on yesterday.
What was the cause of death, Ian? I didn't look. What was the actual cause of death?
I haven't seen that yet. I don't know the reason. And he did film another movie. He did he did come out of retirement to film a small part in another historical drama, which I don't have the title in front of me. But they said that reportedly he had completed filming on it. So. Yeah, I mean, what can you say about Peter O'Toole, you know?
Wouldn't be doing the show if it wasn't for him. I don't think I'd be doing the show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if that would be true for me, but I will say that, you know, a lot of his stuff that he did, and I mean, I'm not just talking about Lawrence of Arabia. That,
no,
that's
no, not Lawrence.
Them,
I mean, the ruling
but, yeah,
class.
I mean, everything from Beckett to one of my favorite movies when I was a teenager was My Favorite Year. That
yeah,
was
My Favorite Year. The Stuntman. The Stuntman.
Yeah, Stuntman.
The Knight of the Generals. Lord Jim. I mean, I could go. I mean, you know, like you said,
yeah.
Beckett. What's New Pussycat? I mean, just a lot of How to Steal a Million. I mean. Just
yeah.
lots
Lion
of great
Winter,
stuff.
Of course.
Lion Winter, yeah. I mean,
Ruling Class. And I always loved him in a little bitty movie that came out in the mid-'80s that was directed by Ivan Passer called Creator. That
no, Creator's
a
great... Oh, that's a good one. That's a wonderful movie.
Yeah, and I mean, gosh, but, you know, he's just one of those people that just had, you know... Forget about the look for a second.
he was able to age a little bit better than Richard Burton. Richard Burton has always been like the case against alcoholism. Peter O'Toole was able to get by a couple of years, later than Burton with the alcoholism, but it did catch up to him, unfortunately, and part of his stomach was taken out, too.
I mean... Who has that kind of delivery, you know, that just that one-of-a-kind delivery, that kind of, that way of empowering just one particular word in his, in a line that he has, you know, to just punch that word. And,
right,
and,
no.
And then, of course, the amazing, you know, I mean, just the otherworldly, I would say otherworldly good looks that he had, particularly in Lawrence of Arabia, which,
he's just the epitome of handsome.
Yeah.
There's another thing we don't talk about him, and he wrote two incredible autobiographies, Loitering with Intent 1 and 2, and there was supposed to be a third volume, which I guess now we're never going to... I gave it up on it a couple of years ago, but these are actually very well-written books. I mean, they're like the signs of a truly great writer. And the same was said about Keith Richards with his autobiography, too, which was a really good autobiography. But he's a really great writer. And it's a really telling, it's not what you would expect it from him, but they're just two really good books that anyone who's interested in acting should read them. But anyone who's just interested in good writing should read them, too.
Well, he's got to have...
He's incredible.
He had to have had great stories out the wazoo.
I mean,
a lifetime doing this with the very best. So it's ironic that Johnny Carson said he was the most difficult guest he ever had.
Yeah, I remember
what
that.
What were his problems with? I mean, did he come on drunk or something? What was the deal with that?
No. He could just be very prickly and difficult with interviewers.
Yeah. He was very difficult. Although Letterman had
a lot of people,
as
the New York Times pointed out today, a lot of people weren't shy about criticizing him for squandering his talents.
Everyone, he did. Remember when Lawrence of Arabia comes out in '89, the restored cut? He says it first before anyone. He says, look, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me. It's a curse that that's my first, that's my breakout role. He always said that that was a curse. But he did do a lot of great work after Lawrence of Arabia. And Lawrence of Arabia isn't the first film. The first film is The Day They Robbed the Bank of England, I think it's called, which has been on Turner Classic Movies every couple of years, which is it's all about Young and Handsome, my God.
And it was just announced that Joan Fontaine just died as well.
Oh my God. She died. She died. Peter O'Toole died. And the guy who played Billy Jack died today.
Tom Laughlin.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Joan Fontaine. Wow. God. Glory. When you go back and take a look at some Joan Fontaine movies, I mean, I recently watched, a couple of years ago, there's a rare movie that she was nominated for an Oscar for, a Best Actress Oscar for, called The Constant Nymph. And she does such a magnificent job of, like, even though she's, like, in her 20s, maybe late 20s, of playing like a 15-year-old all the way up to, you know, her actual age. And boy, she was great. You can say,
I mean, they both live very long lives. Joan Fontaine was 96 when she died today. Mm-hmm. O'Toole was 81.
81.
Oh.
And then Laughlin was 82, so.
That's three biggies in one day. I mean, of different degrees, but Billy Jack's a big deal. I mean, don't discount that. But wow, all three of them in one day. Wow.
Unbelievable. Well, God.
All right. Well, thank you guys for suggesting we end the show on that note.
I didn't really want to. Okay, but
they're
all right.
Dead. But, you know, good night, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, you do have to say that they all lived really full lives, particularly O'Toole, who
Remember, a lot of people thought O'Toole. O'Toole would be the first to die. A lot of people thought that he would. That he would go before Burton, Harris, or Reed, and he didn't. That says something right there. I don't know what exactly, but
I think he found stability in his life. Towards in the past years, I think he's found stability.
Yeah,
And I think it saved him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And he had a resurgence right before he retired with Venus in 2007.
Yeah, Venus was the first movie in a long time that really really brought him back, you know.
Yeah, it really gave him a true lead performance. A lot of times he was just in there as cameos and stuff like that. So, I think it's wonderful though, you know, that we can celebrate their lives as well, you know, because lived long lives, and you know it's not. When people die, when celebrities die at those kind of ages, it's not necessarily a tragedy or whatever.
It also gives you an opportunity to reflect on a style of performer that doesn't really exist anymore. I mean, I think that, you know, you think of those great stage actors and you have Burton and O'Toole, Olivier, you have those, you know, he's not British, but I think the last person that we have in that realm is somebody like Christopher Plummer. I put him in that school of very strong classical. I mean, McKellen is a great classical actor as well, but you know they're very few and far between now.
Patrick
Stewart and McKellen are doing.
Yeah, and it's really funny. These guys are also the classic trained actor, but he's known for Star Trek, and McKellen's going to always be known as Gandalf and Magneto.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, there's a class of actor.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, there's a class of actor that's kind of disappearing with these guys, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think the two that we just, you know, Stewart and McCallum, maybe the last of that, and Hopkins. We can't rule out Hopkins either.
Yeah, but Hopkins will never touch foot on the stage. He despises the stage.
Mm. Drunk British actor is dying. That's our
And a partridge in a pear tree.
In a pear tree.
Three actors dying. Five. All right. So we'll come back. We'll come back next Sunday. What's next Sunday's date? The 22nd. We'll come back next Sunday.
Hopefully, I will have seen American Hustle by then. If I haven't, you know, if I haven't, I hope so.
I would have seen. I would have seen Wolf of Wall Street by then. So.
Wow, this is, to me, Wolf of Wall Street, American Hustle, and Her are the really big. Well, and Anchorman too, but are the really big movies.
I
hope Anchorman 2 is funny. I hope
Me
it's
too.
Funny.
Me too.
I really hope they're all over the place for it, so I really hope it's good.
Me too. Okay, so we'll close off in Mr. O'Toole's honor with the theme from Lawrence of Arabia.
Yay!
Thank you guys, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, sounds good. All right, dude. Awesome.
Thank you.